We continue our reading of the prophet Isaiah, coming today to Isaiah 39. It has only 8 verses. It's found on page 761 in your pew Bibles. Isaiah 39 brings us to the end of the first major portion of Isaiah. Isaiah has 3 main sections. The first 39 chapters involve his ministry to his own generation. That comes to a conclusion. Chapters 40 to 55 then speak into the generation that is restored from the Babylonian exile to come. And then the last chapters, 56 to 66, he's speaking into the new covenant age directly of what we will experience. So here we are at the end of the events of his life and how dramatic they've been. There's a godly king, and actually a great man. He doesn't come across that well here, but he is a great man, and you see that in Kings. By the way, I'm going to start preaching 2 Chronicles in the evening, starting next Sunday, so we'll get to know Asa and Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah, and he'll come off a little better there than he does here. But they had the great victory by the power of God over the army of Sennacherib, and Israel is now a regional power. There were times under the godly kings where they were a political, military force to be reckoned with. Now is one of those times. And so he receives an emissary from Merodach-Baladan, the prince of Babylon, who's the ancestor of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Babylon right now is a rising power in the east, and their nemesis is Assyria, and the Israelites have been fighting Assyria. They want to get together. So they send an embassy. Go check out Hezekiah and see if we can kind of work together. Babylon, Jerusalem. Wouldn't that be great? And it reminds us of the folly when we try as the church to become a political power. We try to be a secular power. Now, Christians are themselves citizens of the secular realm, and we have duties and we can be influential in that realm. But the church, as a church, we'll talk about that in our sermon, is an institution of the kingdom of Christ. And when we try to be a big player, as it were, we end up corrupting ourselves. And this certainly is going to happen to Hezekiah, because the emissaries come and he shows them everything. Oh, yeah, look how much money I've got. Let me show you where it's all found. Isn't that impressive? Take a look at that. And he's thinking, boy, they think we're real players. And here's my armory and all that. They go back. Well, Isaiah hears about this, and he takes it rather poorly. Isaiah shows up, and he says, who are those guys? As if he didn't know. Oh, they're emissaries from Babylon. What do they want? Oh, I showed them everything. What's fascinating is Isaiah then utters a prophecy. He says, well, everything you showed them is going to be taken there. All this gold and silver to Babylon is going to go. In fact, your own descendants are going to be slaves and eunuchs there because of what you did today. Now, what's almost amusing, but it's actually more insightful than that, is Hezekiah's response. He goes, oh, great, it's not going to happen in my time. Now, let's bear in mind, he's had a very difficult, contentious life. If it means that he doesn't have to deal with much more, we're sympathetic. But let's learn the lesson from him. Let's have the future in mind. Let's be thinking of the next generation. Let's not just do what's going to be expedient in our times and sacrifice things that expose the gospel, the sound teaching, the spirituality of our church. Let us say, Lord, put it on us. And let us have that future day when Jesus is returning in mind. Let us have the generations of our children are more precious to us than our own. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, the 39th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard he'd been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah welcomed them gladly, and he showed them his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his whole armory. All that was found in his storehouses, there was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? Hezekiah said, they have come to me from a far country, from Babylon. He says, what have they seen in your house? Hezekiah answers, they've seen all that is in my house. There is nothing in my storehouses that I did not show them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord that you have spoken is good, for he thought, there will be peace and security in my days. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever.
Amen.